I can hear you loud and clear.
All right, cool. The how's the mic sound? I'm changing some settings here. Does it sound good?
It sounds a little harsh on the high end. There's a little roughness. I don't know if it's
okay. Here, try one. Is that better?
That sounds good. Yeah,
it's better.
Sounds good for me.
Okay. And I gotta fix the equalizer here. So, how are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Where are you guys these days?
We're in Northport, Washington right now on the Columbia-Canadian border. You know, it's 250 people. But it's cold and snowy and sucks. So we're probably going to leave Monday, Tuesday and head back to Phoenix. We'll be there till mid-January, and then we'll go the southern route, Key West, and, you know, be butt heads. And then but I'm going to have to give some Arizona some love. Arizona, they went all stupid right when I left. So I'm going, oh, we will be back. I'm going to get some. So we have a bunch of resources of, you know, signed stuff. I'm just going to be a real dick because I need it to have an impact for when I come back 6-8 months later that, you know, I benefit from the activism then. You know, because I don't want to have to start fresh over. And it's just, God, the whole country, man. What's it like in your state, Connecticut? How are they doing?
It's like Twilight Zone, man. It's like Twilight Zone. I mean, it went from, I've continued to get gasoline without putting a mask on. Because life's dangerous.
Okay, all right. Save all this. We're almost a minute and a half. And we'll, you know, get caught up on our experiences. And what else you want to talk about? I mean, you know, we'll do a little autonomy and so on, but I want to talk about
GrandTheftWorld.com.
Yeah. Is that really a thing?
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I wrote an article the day before the election, and it was the beginning is nigh. I'm going, here we go. This is going to start. So I'm, you know, I just don't know how to read what. My thing is that if Trump didn't do, you know, take advantage of being president to go after these guys and know they were going to do this and sting them, then he doesn't freaking deserve to be there. He's just too stupid, you know.
There you go.
But I think he did. I think he, you know, his pride and knowledge, I think he's gonna have something to say. So and if the other guys didn't think that he was going to trap them, then they're freaking morons and don't deserve to be there, you know, just even as Dr. Evil. So it's just so interesting to me to sit on the sidelines and watch this. You know, Corbett and I do a thing every week, and, you know.
Hey, what time are you, Brett? Isn't it 5 after?
It's 6 after. It's 8 seconds. All right,
cool.
Here we go.
Quality for all eternity. For more, visit theonion.com/newsbeat.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have bought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Undefeated here and declare your independence of me, Ernest Hancock, up in the northern west Pacific Northwest of Merca, in the cold snow on the Canadian border with the Columbia River. It's white and cold. And we're going to go Phoenix, Arizona, where it's 80 degrees. Damn it. And we're going to probably leave Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, whenever I can get a break in. It's not icy because that sucks. So we're going to be talking this hour with Richard Grove, Tragedy and Hope at All Costs. Richard Grove. It's been too long, man. We yakky every now and then, but we got to get you on the radio every opportunity we can. And we wanted to come by and visit you guys in Connecticut, but it just, you know, it just didn't work out. We finally got it done. We had to head west. But we'll be back up there this spring. You get to be on the little bus and a little old place where we can get together. You know, we just talk about it. Now, we're not doing video streaming because the bandwidth up here. So even though, you know, Richard's got a pretty set and he's just all pertified. And, you know, the first thing is when they do that and you have all these books behind you and so on, tell us about your books that you're pimping behind you.
Good morning, Ernie. How you doing, man?
I'm more than wonderful. It's good to talk to you.
I'm not pimping any books behind me. Actually, this room is it's the library in our house, and all the walls are covered with books.
Of course they are. But these you have actual – you stay, I know you, and this one goes here, and this one goes here, and we're going to pimp that one. So these books, what do they represent? Because you read. I mean, you read. You actually read the books.
They represent breadcrumbs in the trail that I've formulated to understand history from a perspective of reality instead of the propagandized view that we're indoctrinated with. And when you find these little artifacts and pieces of evidence that are substantial and meaningful, and I mean, it could be something like, where's the Goldwater memoirs with no apologies, where there's a former senator and he tells you about the Trilateral Commission and the Bilderberg Group and the CFR. It's chapters 32 and 33 in his book. So you can't let these things just wander around. You have to organize them with intent and follow the breadcrumbs and follow the truth where it goes. And you have to document it because the internet is very ephemeral, as we're learning. And there's a lot of censorship and deep sixing of the information going on out there. So
YouTube went down last night. Did you know that? YouTube went down.
Yeah, I saw that.
James Corbin and I are sitting here talking, and you know, we're talking about YouTube and his big, you know, leaving YouTube birthday party thing he did with some of the band guys and all that kind of stuff.
That was awesome. Yeah, I watched that.
And then Donna goes, she puts a little post-it on the thing, says YouTube's down, and it was down for like 45 minutes. And I'm going, well, there's that. What do you think happened?
I think it's, I could say it's a technical glitch, because that's popular these days to have technical glitches, but I could also say that they're not interested in purveying freedom-related information to freedom-loving individuals anymore. So we really have to, like, make a migration. Like, you can still have a, you know, have a hangout on the YouTube like Corbett does, but he has a strong presence on all the other independent sites. So it's about information longevity. Can you get your information out there in such a way that they can't take it away from people in the future who would like another perspective other than what Google told them?
Information longevity, define that.
Being able to put a fact out there that represents reality without it being, it's like, it's the signal versus the noise. We want to leave behind signal because it would be much more useful for someone like myself if I had been not indoctrinated with propaganda, but understood step by step. These are the elements of history. These are the artifacts of history in our culture. And when those artifacts of history are hidden from us, and a great, great many of them are, then we don't have legitimate rights of passage. We don't grow up to be responsible, freedom-loving, and freedom-maintaining adults. Rather, we become passive, we become subjugated and submissive, and we lack the intellectual self-defense to be able to hold ideas of logic and reason in an environment where reason's becoming illegal and irrationality is becoming more and more popular by the day. For no reason, but that's
you
the
say
nature
artifact
of irony.
A lot. You know, these artifact. Define artifact to you.
All right, so an artifact could be, if we were on video, Ernie, I'd pull up the book cam here and I'd show this to you.
I can see it. Well,
I'll do it. Hold
Screw
on.
Everybody else, I can see.
All right, I'm gonna hit this button here. All right, this is Triumphant Democracy by Andrew Carnegie. Okay, this is an artifact. This is a first edition book from, I think it's 1893.
Okay, now wait a minute. The first thing I'm interested in is we have several cameras here that I can switch to and whatever. And what you have is a camera that kind of folds out like a desk lamp that shoots right down so I can see you opening the book and looking at it. It's all pretty. What yeah, the hell right. is that camera? What do you call that thing?
It's whatever the updated version of an IPEVO Ziggy is. So IPEVO ZIGGI was the original like desk cam. And this is a newer Bluetooth version that has a battery in it.
Okay, so it's called a desk cam.
Yeah, like a desktop webcam. So it's a book cam.
Okay, this is cool. I remember when you were building the studio, you were showing me this. You said, this is for my artifacts, so I can show my artifact. I'm thinking Indiana Jones is going to pop up with a golden idol or something, okay?
Well, it's these are literary artifacts. So I wanted to make sure I wasn't just reading from the internet and having some specious version of the story. So an artifact would be Andrew Carnegie wrote this book on internationalism, on globalism, on there's a better idea than America, and he was for this bigger idea, right? So Triumphant Democracy by Andrew Carnegie in the late 1893-ish, or might be 1896, pre-20th century, this was a plan for a bigger idea than America. It's the origins of the New World Order. It's the origins of them saying, we want to bring America back into the British Empire, not for the purpose of aggrandizing the British Empire, which was collapsing under its own weight, but to use America as the jumping point into a world domination paradigm.
So they wanted a structure of hierarchy with the all seeing eye at the top, and they wanted to be that eye.
Yeah.
They
wanted to be everything. And yet have no responsibility for that. So they want the benefits of freedom. They want the benefits of harnessing populations and these sort of things, but they don't want the bad moniker for it. So what Carnegie is putting forward, or Woodrow Wilson, or any of these other books I've collected, it's like, I didn't want to believe what was on the internet. I was incredulous. And I said, well, let me get the first edition of that book. Let me read it in the author's own words. And in Wilson's case, there's a lot of quotes out there, but what he writes in, there's 8 pages in there that are really remarkable. They're hard to summarize, so people have tried to distill them down, and that's where you get these quotes that people say, that's not a real quote. Actually, it's a distillation of real pages from these books. So there's a lot of interesting aspects that are, they're going to be left uncovered until someone gets the books and reads them and shares those elements of knowledge, wisdom, and understanding and experience with other people. And I wish I would have had access to these books at a younger age, or somebody would have put that all together so I could just listen to the story. It takes a lot of work to get all the details together.
Do you do that anymore? I mean, you're so focused on your autonomy thing and the skills that you're sharing with people to get their, train them. Be like, mind camp, And so I'm wondering, when you get your mind camp done, are you doing more of this research? Because that's what... your forte was. I'm wondering, are you done? Did you read all the books? We're going to find out when we come back. Richard Grove, is he done reading books and sharing? And he's just trying to get your mind right? We'll find out when we come back in just a little bit.
The overall picture in the realist.
Yeah, are you doing more, investigative stuff, or are you just... focusing on your autonomy thing?
No, I'm working it in. Aside from doing the lectures and the Q&A sessions on the weekends, we're now doing the Grand Theft World podcast we could talk about Sunday nights. And then I'm doing Smart Reads and History Connected now that I got the studios working again and cameras and all the technical glitches. A lot of glitches in the past couple months.
Yeah,
Tech gremlins. I've had gremlins. I had a gremlin problem.
Yeah. Okay, now what is it called? What's your Sunday podcast? What'd you call it?
GrandTheftWorld.com.
GrandTheftWorld.com. All right. So how's Luke?
He's awesome. They woke up just right before this, like at 9:55. Lisa and Lucas woke up upstairs, so they ran down here to make sure I was cool. And I was like, "If you could just make coffee at some point, we're good." We've been going hiking, fishing, a couple times a week. Get outside every day, but we get off property and do some stuff. And he went to the aquarium the other day, and he made me this bracelet. You know how kids make bracelets like out of letters?
Yeah.
Let me show this to you. So it says, if I can get it to focus, King Kong.
Ah!
Right? It says King Kong because he likes King Kong. We watched the 1977 King Kong the other night. We watched the 1933 King Kong, right? So he made this bracelet and gave it to me yesterday morning. What he didn't know yesterday morning was that my job yesterday was to film a testimonial for an advertising company in Australia called King Kong. And so I just thought it was like, I don't know how he knew because I didn't tell Lisa. I just had it on my schedule of things I had to do yesterday as far as I needed to shoot a couple different pieces of footage to thank a friend of mine who gave me a really, I mean, we paid list price, but the deal that we got for list price was fucking incredible. He's a good businessman. He knows how to get a lot of value. What's that?
List price for what?
We invested in a course for our consulting company. So I have Autonomy, the course, and we also have Autonomy, the Unlimited, the consulting and marketing agency. So graduates from Autonomy, some of them want to freelance with their high-value skills. So we have clients over here, and they can get their foot in the door, intern, and get the freelance opportunities, right? So we invested in a course for the consulting company, which was like, I don't know, it was around 15 grand. And this was March, right after we did COVID prep. And it was a big chunk of money. And I was like, do I want to outlay this with all this unknown? But then I thought, I was like, well, if I just get a couple enrollments with this process, it'll pay for itself. And I'd say it paid for itself. It exceeded my expectations, I said yesterday, like by 30x.
Really?
So that's why it was worth time for me to put it in my schedule yesterday to give a big thank you and do high production value testimonial for it.
Cool. Well, that's it. Yeah, I'm glad you found your niche, man. You're doing it because you know how to, you know, do all this. I'm looking forward to you seeing the studio that I crammed in a little bitty little shoebox. You know,
I too am looking forward to it. I thought we were going to catch you when you were up north here.
I freaking finally got it done, and I hit the road trying to get here before snow. You know, yeah. 'Cause I didn't want to drive in snow. And it was, we had a whole engine rebuild that was $20,000+. You know,
yeah, I heard the unplanned engine rebuilds. Unplanned
rapid disassembly. You know, whatever. All right, hold on. Here we go.
Oriented audio streamed around the clock, on the air, and online. This is the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.FM.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
And Richard Grove, TragedyandHope.com. All right. He's got GrandTheftWorld.com. On Sundays, he does a podcast that talking about Grand Theft World. All right. How long you been doing that? What are you guys yakking about?
We just published the premiere episode of the podcast yesterday to Library, YouTube, and other outposts on the interwebs. So it's brand new. We launched it on September 11th. Grand Theft World is a URL that I had an idea to buy years ago. I was talking in a meeting with some of my team a couple months ago. I brought it up. I was like, you know, at some point I got this GrandTheftWorld.com URL. I'd like to launch it and bring all these people who are getting censored, all my colleagues together on one spot, on one site. And one of them goes, hey, are you sure you own that? And I was like, why? They're like, because it's available. So I went upstairs, I bought it back because I guess I had let it lapse. And then it went back to the open market. Luckily, I got it back. We developed the site. And there's probably 35 or 40 independent, liberty-minded media producers who you and I probably know, the bulk of them. I know most of them in person, and others I just admire their work and think it needs to be showcased and preserved in a way. And I'm also interested in getting GrandTheftWorld.com backed up to the IPFS, because it's not just about my work. It's a collection where we're piping in RSS feeds from Burmese and Luke Radowski and Dan Dix and, you know, a whole plethora of people who do solid work on a consistent basis to defend freedom and liberty in this country. So there is a common theme.
I want everybody to know that Richard Groves said IPFS first, okay? You opened that box. So it's...
We've been talking about it for years, and now people are just catching on to the fact that you say these letters. Before it was just noise, but now they have meaning.
Yeah, no, I've been, you know, as much as I can. This is what's the update on that, you know, just happened the last few days. I just told James last night. It's getting to where we had Dan Dix on, and he's been, you know, purged and demonetized and, you know, flamethrowered and, you know, whatever, okay? And I look at this and I'm going, well, IPF, well, you know, who's there? And I go, it's not about who's there. It's that you have the content available to make it, you know, available to anybody, anytime. I mean, it's there. And then we need search. That's, you know, that's what's really going to change everything, is that the metadata, like when we pull, you know, Corbett report is all on, you know, formatted on IPFS that we have, and then, of course, ourselves and everything. But you go there, and that metadata, you know, the title and the summary and the graphic and all that, you can still format that and put that in any way you want. Well, the information is pinned on your own node, your own server, and then it's replicated. Every time it's requested, it goes faster. It doesn't slow down. It goes faster the more popular it is. Well, this is what the concept is. I'm going, we need to have our server, because if you go on MailChimp, you know, deleted, took away his ability to communicate by email, Dan Dix. They just took it.
Yep.
And they have his database. And I'm going, this is just stupid. We are acting so stupid because we're depending on these platforms. Stop. So I talked to Kingsley Edwards over at Float. What we're doing, they've been doing a lot of customization for us and different things to make Donna's life easier, like the live streaming, you know, automatically posts and so on, and, you know, some other features that we need. And says sitting there staring at wheels for, you know, you load 15, 20 hours of video a week, you're staring at wheels all the time, you know, especially if you don't have good connection. So I'm going, all right, if we loaded to our own IPFS servers that we have here on the bus, then it copies, or we can admin straight to our IPFS server in Canada that we have, Agoras Hosting, and he's just installing right now a 16 terabyte drive. Okay, that's, you know, for us to, you know, pin everybody that we care about, like, you know, Richard Groves. So we put all that on there, and then I API to these different platforms. So I talked to Kingsley and I said, look, if I create where it's formatted in such a way that you guys work with us, and I don't have to enter it in the Float and BitChute and all these others, that we do it on our own IPFS nodes, which makes it available to everybody everywhere anyway. We have search on it that we can, and it speeds up when it gets popular, that all the content providers are storing and serving their own content. Would you be willing to work with Derek, your team, so that it populates Float accounts, that you're pulling it from our node, that we don't have to enter it on Float. It pulls, we enter it on our own, it's there, and that becomes the seed, the pin for all the social networks. And starting with Float, you do that and you have a token sale out now. I guarantee by the end of the year, we have this developed where we keep all our own data and it automatically posts into our accounts on Float. You are the man and the woo-man over there, and we do some whip-ass. And he's like, yes. So he and Derek are working on that now. So what's going to happen is all this content that we have, we post to our own IPFS server, which makes it available and quick and pinned and distributed to everybody, and that becomes the feed and some kind of an API that goes to the social networks. So when they go down, when YouTube goes down, like it did for almost an hour yesterday, last night, that doesn't matter because the hashes go to our network and they can suck it. Are you in, Richard?
Yeah, I'm in. And I'm encouraged to hear that Kingsley is talking to Derek about that. So I'm keenly interested to see what they come up with. Currently, I don't have that exact framework set up, but I have the option to upload once and put it many places from that one upload, or I can just publish to YouTube and put it on BitChute and DLive and Library.
Yeah, the scripts are being done for that. See, what happened, if you go to, you could do it right now, pull it up, go to sitepins.net. SitePins. Oh, you don't have an extra computer to do
it? I can.
Oh, my God. You don't have enough computers sitting there?
Of course I do.
You can't do it? The sitepins.net, and you'll see this is just, you know, the beginning hub that, you know, Derek created to start pulling stuff over. And the scripts that we did to pull over all the YouTubes and everything for everybody, you'll see Freedom's Phoenix over 30,000 videos that we saved. Then we got, you know, We Are Change and Corbett and Dan Dix and World Alternative Media and Bros. And there's a bunch more that I don't even think is up on there. We did that like summer of 19. You know, we pulled all these over. So when these guys go, hey, I lost my Ernie, do you happen to have? I go, maybe I do and maybe I don't. You know, what are you going to give me, you know? Everybody give me crap all the time. Now you need it, you know? So this is was the beginning of it. And it's to show how you can just do a Raspberry Pi, a 2 terabyte external drive, and you're done. I'm telling you, Richard, this is it. You know, or certainly like this. Coffee down. So we are not. Luke! Oh, is that
Luke,
Lisa?
Luke says hi. Come here.
Come here and say hello.
He can see you. You can't see
oh,
him.
Oh, man, you're so big now. Big boy. It's good to see you, Luke. Oh, you know what, Richard? He is your father. Anyway, so. Yeah, I got him a shirt.
Hey, did that line, Luke, I am your father, did that come from Tommy Boy or Strange Brew? It was one of those two. But it's not in Star Wars. That's the point that Ernie's making. And I want everyone to know that I was wearing one of Ernie's Star Wars t-shirts with Uncle Vader on there when Lucas was born, and I wore that on purpose.
Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. All right. He's caught up. Everybody's caught up what we're doing. We're going to get caught up more with tragedy and hope because he's predicted all this stuff coming.
We have some good news. The indictments against...
All right. You're all caught up. When we get
that
back...
That coffee's hot. Lisa came down with fresh coffee for me, but it was quite a temperature change from what I was drinking. I was like at the end of this one from a couple hours ago.
Yeah, I'm kind of nursing this now because it's hot.
Bulletproof.
Yeah, I got that from you. You know, I'm drinking it now. I remember that. That was, you know, that was a Richard Grove thing. Okay, when we come back, we're looking at the news, and one of the things, all the lockdowns and stuff, here they come again. 22 more states are going to be doing that. We have the election. We have Trump versus, and are you keeping up with any of their investigative
I'm watching all the shenanigans because I don't have – a team jersey, so I'm interested in Grand Theft World going on in front of us.
Well, this is the one thing that, you know, a lot of us at dinner were talking about is that at least people are going to be aware that there are other people that are aware of problems. You're not going to be able to skirt this thing and just say, nah, nothing to see here. And
not with what they're bringing, no. No, everyone's going to see what's going on. But they just voted in the fox to be in charge of the hen house. So, like, Biden wrote an article called How I Came to Love the New World Order. And they think they're counterculture revolution putting him in office. I'm like,
really? That was the title of his article?
Yeah. Yeah. It's How I Came to Love the New World Order by Joseph Biden.
What was the year of that?
I don't know. I got to look it up. Maybe in the 90s.
Wow.
Let's see. Listen.
Yeah, this has been such a... Well, what's your view of... I mean, not that I had any love for Fox, but their complicity in this thing. I mean, you think Trump got surprised or something? Oh, my God.
Dude, when I saw Fox put it in the bag. Literally, I saw them change the icons on screen. So both guys were smiling through like the first night. And like 2 a.m., I saw that Trump had a frowny face and Biden smiling. I'm like, they just switched. And it went from like they were like the mouthpiece for conservatives to they're on Team New World Order. They're on Team Great Reset. Neil Cavuto wants a raise. All of a sudden, it was like they were like in lockstep, and there was no causal event because when they did that, Trump was ahead in all the votes from that day, like the people who voted in real time
they
and
just
real person
got the word and flipped the switch.
Somebody told him something.
Well, that's where you know, Trump calls Murdoch. He says, "Hey, man, what the hell is screw you, man? What do you think was going on? You maroon." So I'm interested in how much this is what I tell Frank all the time. You know, we're going to do Trump Report after this. It'll be you might want to stick around for a segment. That'll be fun. But I go, you know, I'm waiting for Trump the movie when they can do the whole thing. It was screenplay by Richard Grove. You know, that would be awesome. I'm waiting for it'd have to be a hell, it couldn't even be a mini series. It'd have to be a maxi series. I mean, this would be years running, kind of, you know, it'd be like The Crown.
If that dude wanted to win, all he had to do was pardon Snowden, Assange, and Ross. He could have won.
Why? This is all fraud. You know, one, what did he turn to, you know, the fraction math?
I know who won the election. I know who won the election, the statists.
Yeah, if you keep voting, the government always wins. All right, we'll be right. Here we go.
The LRN.FM Twitter account, so you can receive our tweets at twitter.lrn.fm. That's twitter.lrn.fm.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
And Richard Grogue, Tragedy and Hope, spelled out, and tragedyandhope.com. Now, what I wanted to do, we got kind of caught up with each other doing stuff and being somebody, but you predict this, you know, this consternation. I mean, you know, nothing surprises me anymore. So, you know, did you vote really hard? How hard did you vote?
You know, I'm a big believer in voting for nobody. So I did not vote. I haven't voted since 2004. The last candidate for any political office I voted for was Michael Badnarik, who was the Libertarian candidate for president of these United States in 2004. I agreed with that political philosophy, and I agree with his political philosophy today because he's a graduate of my course, and we talk quite often now. So he convinced me through learning on my own. He didn't tell me not to vote, but once I understood things and compared how things should be to reality, I understood that my voting was very much like a kid in the back of the car with a pretend steering wheel, pretending I have something to do with how the parents are driving the car. Like that steering wheel that we are grabbing in voting is not connected to the wheels or our foreign or domestic policy.
It doesn't have any linkage.
No linkage there.
Keep pounding on that little horn. You know,
that's
when you pound
right.
too much, they take away your horn. You're not allowed. Okay, so have you been paying attention to, you know, the recounts and the numbers and who and the fraud and, you know, how much are you paying attention?
I've been watching it like a slow motion car wreck at like 300 frames a second. Or, you know, it's like there's a lot of things to take in at any given day. I listen to the claims that Giuliani makes. We'll see what comes of that. I listen to how the left can just dismiss any claim by just saying, no, there's not. Like Leslie Stahl on 60 Minutes, that didn't happen. No, he's not. She's just like, she's gaslighting him. So whether or not that person doesn't understand or they're trying to convince you of an unreality.
Okay, now we're hearing that a lot of gaslighting. Now I've described
that. Oh yeah, that's
a
movie. That's a movie from back in the day.
Explain to people what that means.
All right, so there was a husband, and this movie's from like the 50s. It's called Gaslight. It features Ingrid Bergman, and she's the like.
Well, there was a play before like 1800s or something. I mean, it was based on something, right?
I'm just going from the cinematic history.
Okay.
It might have even been a Hitchcock film. But the point is, they were psychologically battering the wife, and to make her think these unrealities, they were putting her in situations and then just lying to her about the environment. So there was other someone else in the building, and they would turn on the gas and her light would go down, but they would be like, no, it's not. So that's where the term comes into the public vernacular. It might have a longer history, but it basically says trying to convince people of an unreality that you may or may not believe as a gaslighter. I don't know what they do on that side, but it comes down to that experiment where if you're in a room and everyone says 2 + 2 = 5, after a while, you'll just start to agree with that to go along with the group. That's the idea, political propaganda, psychological warfare behind gaslighting. And so Leslie Stahl, when Trump said, you know, Joe Biden's under investigation, there's a lot of evidence. She's like, no, there's not. No, he's not.
That was debunked.
Like, that's wishful thinking. And when they say there's nothing to any of this evidence, I say, how do you know? Have you examined the evidence? Are you a judge? Are you part of the legal system? Otherwise, you have to let the adults work that out, buddy, and stop claiming that there's no evidence, right? That's a claim. Even claiming no evidence is a claim in the affirmative that something doesn't exist when possibly it does. Or if you haven't checked it out yet, see, the big problem is, on one side, you have people willing to read and look into stuff. And on the other side, you have people making assumptions and judgments prior to investigating the claims or observing the evidence. And a bunch of people over history have claimed this to be the root of ignorance. But I think Aristotle said it best. He said, observation or judgment prior to observation is the epitome of ignorance. And that's what we see being purveyed as news every day, is this assumption purveyed as reality, and that gets people in a lot of trouble historically.
100%. Well, they don't care. They're advocating for a mind screw of whatever the hell they want. And the big thing that they're doing, they want to wear you down. I've seen this before. We went through this with the Gore Bush year in 2000 election, and it just drags out, and they get you to mentally exhausted. And you go, look, man, just pick. I don't care. Don't make any difference to me. I don't care. This one, you need to care. This is going to be long time, perpetual. If Trump loses, he's not president. All I was looking forward to was if he lost last time. We're going to have Trump TV. I get Trump TV and Trump the movie and Trump the lunchbox and Trump the, I mean, whatever, you know. So there'll be some
just
fun.
Just like Spaceballs.
Yeah, he's the flamethrower. Kids love it. So they're not going to be sitting on their hands. And this is, it's kind of this Trump Nation thing that's going. But the mistake is that it surrounds an individual or a brand. You know, this is a mistake, you know, but I don't know how else to convert it into, you know, general knowledge. And what do you think's going to, they, them, those in the New World Order? Oh, you were saying Biden wrote an article about how he loves him some New World Order. What was that?
In 1992, Biden penned an article called, or titled, How I Came to Love the New World Order. And
let's vote for him.
You know, check it out.
Yeah, just make him president.
I'm not making any claim other than he wrote an article, and you can look it up and read it.
Oh, man. All right, so what's going to happen? You know, how you see this COVID thing, you know, coming? You know, well, it was all of a sudden the day they go, oh, Biden wins, and we got a cure. Yeah, everybody just take it. It's all cure. We're all good. Then the top guy and the CEO sells 60% of his stock at the high. You know, what I'm going, these guys are openly corrupt.
Yeah, yeah. Welcome to the adult world. There's adult topics to be talked about, like how there's a bunch of people that are corrupt running things. All right, remember the James Bond movie where Spectre had that fish tank and they got the two fish and they fight each other and then the third fish comes in after the other two fish are like too tired to mess around and fight back for themselves? That's what Civil War does. Civil War is never about right side versus left side. It's about the third side that put those two sides at each other so it could take the spoils. That's what it's about in 1861, according to Solomon de Rothschild in his personal letters back to his family. He's like, North and South will they'll extinguish each other's resources, and there will be no victor, right? So there's people playing the game of politics, and they're not playing against each other. They're playing sides against each other. It'd be like instead of playing a grandmaster chess, instead of playing a grandmaster in a game of chess, you would play two grandmasters against each other and then take the spoils from whoever wins the game. You would organize that event. That's kind of what they're doing. They're organizing a big event. They don't necessarily have to control each and every piece of it because overall chaos, despotism, tyranny are already built into the whole
infrastructure. Okay, exactly what I wanted to talk about, how it's built in. This is what I've been finding out traveling the country and going, doing our, you know, little meets and teaching people to make signs and having activism and everything. The problem communities, it's all down at the local level, but their biggest opposition is not so much, you have the local guys want to be how communist they can be, but it's county. It's county by county by county by county. When you have Supreme Court in Michigan says to the governor, no, you 7-0, you're in violation of the emergency, whatever you're doing. Oh, and by the way, 4-3, that emergency law is unconstitutional anyway. Oh, Newsom, California, you're a scumbag piece of crap. You can't just do anything. Well, it says right here, I get police powers if I'm going to watch me use them. You know? Well, we say you can't. Well, it says right here, I can't. You know, it's so confusing out there. But even when they go after the state, what happens? It goes down. They just say, okay, if I can't do it, the counties can. The county health director, county shiny badge and a clipboard of somebody's going to say and make, and you got your license permit if you're not allowed. And it's county by county by county, and it's done under sustainable development of whatever the hell it is. The infrastructure is already there. So how do you undo it?
You got to un-Delphi technique, people, because they got cornered into all this using Delphi technique of artificially limiting your options and denying you comparison and contrast.
All right, when we come back, Delphi. You know, we're going into the break. You're going to get in something important right when we start the music. I'm like, no. I'm going to write this down. The Delphi technique. Now, we hear about it a lot, but do we see it, witness it, and see it put into action? Richard's been warning you. Well, it's here. We'll be right back.
From the third letter of Captain Mark. The Crown's observation conditions us to be dishonest with ourselves. Therefore, constant surveillance produces a society of constant deception. Honest communication is the seed of civilized conduct. To deny us this seed is to deny us its fruits. But the Crown's primary objective is to stifle free thought itself, to make its subjects incapable of dissent. Seasoned pirates have always encrypted messages and codes and ciphers, so intercepted transmissions were incomprehensible. But today, the Crown possesses advanced tools of pattern recognition that document, profile, and predict our every move. Today, piracy requires hailing frequencies completely invisible to the Crown. We are tired of poltergeists in the static. Looking for a community of like-minded scoundrels, or just want some swag to let the Crown know what you think of it? Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
Yeah, pirates without borders. How are you organizing your guys under your autonomy thing? Or you got some secret handshake club of we're whipping ass or something? What?
How do you mean? Like students take the course, they graduate, they work as freelancers, or they become, you know, entrepreneurs, or they get a job, they have some sort of high value skill.
Are you taking advantage of that for you? Are you gleaning the best of them, go whip ass or something on a mission of staff of we got more or something? I mean, what are you doing?
Yeah, the best of, they go to the consulting company, Autonomy Unlimited, and then they work for clients. And what's cool, because we're on break, right?
Yeah.
We have, I have a student who graduated autonomy and he's a CPA and he wanted to start his own business. So I was like, great. Why don't you triage our books? We just started an accounting company earlier this year. Let's get everything, like all the I's dotted and T's crossed, all the stuff. So as a function of that, a couple weeks ago, I got a profit and loss report, which made me feel like all big boy, because I don't usually get these sort of things from a CPA. So this is a new phenomenon, right?
Yeah.
So we've been running this consulting company, and I've had like kind of hands off because I wanted to see what the people who are there, the graduates, what they can do for themselves. So I wasn't sure if we were in the red or if we were in the black. So in the first 10 months, we did over $100,000 in business for clients. We did have a profit, and we also did $100,000 plus in pro bono work for liberty and freedom minded individuals who were trying to help out and they don't have a marketing budget. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So as I'm able to do business with high ticket clients, I also have people I need to train as interns and apprentices, and I have them work on the pro bono accounts, and that works out pretty well.
Okay, this is where, yeah, our technical abilities, we kind of got that covered. We've been, you know, building up as we keep advancing on this stuff. There's a lot more people joining and help with that, but and the promotion for the marketing. Social media and all that kind of stuff, YouTube goes down, so I don't care. So, you know, my thing is the promotion of the network of the I'm really going to push. If an IPFS is something like that, and that one's becoming a clear head and shoulder winner as time goes on because there's a lot more open source work on it. We had a guy from Switzerland after James and I, he interviewed me and Derek and put it out. And it was a guy from Switzerland. He has each cell phone is its own node. So whenever you listen to one of the thing, it replicates on the caches on the cell phone, mm-hmm. You know, at least temporarily, and becomes a node for the data. And I'm going, wow. You know, as an Australian school teacher, all his kids save all their stuff. Everything's on IPFS. He already has a network. He's like, I don't know what the hell you guys are waiting on. And I'm like, whoa. You know, so what I need is pushing of it.
And here we go.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
With Richard Grove. First, I want to do the Delphi thing, but I just want to, you know, make sure we get this in. He has autonomy, which is a class for, you know, get your mind right and learn some skills and some, you know, personal development stuff and confidence. And you got, you know, competence and experience in things. And you have a you build self-esteem based on actually doing stuff. You got confidence in doing things like man camp that Jay does. Well, this is kind of a intellectual man camp for autonomy. And what happens is you all of a sudden find out what you can do. He takes the best of that, puts them into a consulting thing, and they're out kicking ass and making some money. You know, because, and I tell you what I do need, and you guys are doing some marketing stuff, is when we get it set, it's not yet, when we get it, because our traffic keeps going up. While everybody else is taking a dive and they deplatform, we didn't depend on that. So we're like three times what we were even 2 months ago. So I'm going, nah, 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 nah. But what I want to do is the IPFS nodes that we can feed into social media and all that, that needs to be marketed. James Corbett has been really big about pushing people. It's when you do, you know, CorbettReport.com, that's a number. It's an IP number. Well, what happens when they take the name away associated with that number? They go, eh, we don't like you, and we ban that. Okay, but you still have the number. It's just an address of your server. So you promote that. You know, so we start doing that. Well, the IPFS is going to be kind of the same thing. It's going to be a totally different Internet 3-point kiss my butt of the people. When that happens and we're ready and we, you know, there's something to promote and how we're doing, I won't be calling Richard and friends and say, hey, it's time. So get ready, get your mind wrapped around that, okay? Help me make
we'll
that
help you
oral
market
vision
it,
again.
But we could also help you formulate a course around that knowledge so you could spread it to other people and they could do likewise and freedom could proliferate.
Waiting
so
on you now.
That too.
Waiting on you.
Waiting on me.
Waiting on you. Well, I got to do, man. It's everything I can we'll do just recording. To get up and do the freaking show. All right, Delphi. Give me the definition of this technique that they're doing.
Delphi is a structured communication technique developed by the United States Army in the mid-20th century. And when they use it on you, it's limiting your comparison and contrast to come out to a predefined result, but it's supposed to make it seem like you came up with that result and it's what you wanted. So it's part of psychological warfare, and then it's used to run Agenda 21, you know, sustainable cities meetings all over the country, and it's used to weed out dissent and bring in ideas that they've already decided on and make people think they're coming up with those ideas. As an example, the Delphi technique was used in developing Common Core. Common Core was developed by some people with some secret society ties. I'll just leave it at
Common
that.
Core was a Bush education thing.
Well, it's now global. It's all over the world.
Well, tell
now.
People
so
what
the
Common
way they
Core
got that
is.
Done is they went into states and made the people think that they were the ones creating the curriculum, but they weren't. The Delphi technique is used in those type of situations. They have a predetermined outcome. They want people to buy into it. They Delphi technique people out of their freedom.
Comment
that doesn't
did
have
this,
ethics or integrity.
They did this with the children's brains, their minds. And Common Core was to have, I mean, they sit there and just told you what it was in the middle of the freaking sentence. Common Core curriculum. It's just everybody, you know, no child left behind. We're going to get them all. So this has been, so it came down to where a lot of the states, I remember the argument, we need to have our own. And the steam valve was creating charter schools or, you know, private schools got used a lot and homeschooling took off. And it's because, so who's in this Common Core thing? Well, it's the government schools. So, and when they did this lockdown and they started shutting down the schools, six more of my 12 grandchildren are like, eh, we're homeschooling. You know, they're done. They're out. Is that a blowback that you think that they anticipated or not?
It's a temporary blowback that they anticipated, and their long-term strategy is eventually to make being parents illegal. They want the kids raised directly by the state, and parents are pesky, like, intermediaries.
They're monitoring our online class.
Look, 1932, Brave New World, Chapter 1 is Huxley saying, the state grows the people. There are no more parents, right? It would be illegal. And they're going to just say, it's too dangerous, it's too expensive for you to have kids, and the state's just going to produce and give to you. Maybe you can be a custodian of the state's child. They're twisted, man. They're empty and hollow, and they don't have any love. They controlled us through fear, because I think they're controlled through fear. The people who are leading us, as far as the globalists and the people doing all these illegal things and things that are deleterious to our freedom, they're not wholesome, happy, well-balanced people, okay? And they're not smarter than we are. But they are more ruthless. They are more cunning. They are more Machiavellian. And as long as people keep saying that doesn't exist and that's conspiracy theory and giving themselves an excuse not to do any reading or not to familiarize themselves with that which exists here in reality, like, it's going to get worse before it gets better.
They're going to take their shiny badge and beat you over the head with it.
Well, that's an idea that the badge has power. It used to be an actual shield that they protected themselves with, and then they shrunk it down. They're like, it still does the same thing because it's a mental game. So when you get your mind straight, then you got a chance of getting your life straight. So aside from autonomy, GrandTheftWorld.com, every day it's being piped full of all the liberty-producing people that are being censored from all over the place. And if they don't have YouTube, we'll bring in their library. If they don't have library, we'll bring in their DTube or their BitChute. Freedom has to exist in the future from my perspective. Like, that's not compromisable. So in order for it to continue to exist, we have to proliferate these ideas of learning and intellectual self-defense, critical thinking, and cogent communication skills. Otherwise, we're always going to be at odds and in a conflict, which at the end of the day benefits our opposition.
GrandTheftWorld.com. All right, I've just pulled it up here. Ooh, it's a bunch of puzzle pieces. Oh, I see me some Soros. All right, dude. Yeah, what the hell, man? You know, it's all these county attorney, district attorney thing. I can see it. You know, these guys, who are you going to turn them into? Who's going to prosecute? You know, what's it?
Yeah, he bought off the DAs. Like, it's a big deal. Soros set aside, according to the New York Times, $19 billion for his endeavor to mess with our reality. What have we put up for our side? Like, he's buying off DAs. He's like, it's a big deal. So if you think that $19 billion doesn't buy any influence in this country, you're severely underestimating your opponent.
Okay, so who curates Grand Theft World? Who does that? Who decides what goes where, how, and how fresh is it?
We're setting it up so it kind of auto-curates, but I will have some editors who are doing, like, fine-tuning. But what we're doing is basically bringing in people's RSS feeds untouched. So we're looking to bring in more metadata for some of them, but some of the widgets and plugins are already doing, like, a pretty good job of bringing things over from various
sites.
Yeah, see,
this is what we're talking about with the IPFS nodes going into stuff like... See, I remember...
We could just all plug it into that site. So my thing was, I don't want to have to go to all these different sites to follow my friend's work now that they're scattered to the wind. Let's put all their work on one site that I could just go to, and then they can use it to promote their work too. If they don't have their own webpage, use GrandTheftWorld.com and your section on there to promote whatever you want.
Like, okay, I give you a good idea.
You've earned the right. That's why I'm featuring so many, you know, so many prolific minds' work on there.
This is right? What I saw in about, God, was it 9, 10, when WordPress started becoming a thing. We would see different sites. We got, you know, a big jump in, you know, sites that link in or something, you know, on different metrics. And what it was is somebody created a widget that pulled RSS feeds from Freedom's Phoenix that went into a section on their WordPress website. It'd be like, you know, the top, you know, like a miniature version of Freedom's Phoenix with, you know, like 10 headlines or something like that. You know, we have these kind of widgets, you know, feeds that they can take and just put on their own web pages. And I've yet to get, because I'm really encouraged finally by this ability for us to maintain our own nodes that then can be API'd into what you're doing here. This is it. This is the future of news. It's a perspective. And then it's the content providers. And the problem that we're having with all these, you sit there watching it spin forever, you know, loading stuff. Fine, take it from I'll load mine. It's sitting there. And then you take it. It's just exactly what you're doing here. I'm tired of me, you know, building your platform. You know, you want to build it from my stuff, make it available? Cool. But I got it available on our own network, a suck it. So I'm, you know, see, we're in the main, you know, smart minds, we flock together. I get it. You know, I'm in. All right. Well, how can we help? What should people do right now? We're in the music. What should they do?
Go to GrandTheftWorld.com. Find your favorite media. And then find some stuff on there that you haven't seen, because anything posted on that site coming from those producers is worth checking out.
GrandTheftWorld.com. Yep. Yep. I knew Richard to have a solution. All right, we're going to do a little bit more for the archive. We'll be right back with Frank Tamburi, Troop Report. What might he have to say? I don't know. But it'll be interesting anyway. Peace.
LRN.FM's.
All right, so what do I got to do to get in with and work and help and be part of something?
Well, you should do, if you want to see what we can help you out with, you can schedule a discovery call, and you can do that by going to autonomyunlimited.com, fill out the click the box, put your email in there, answer a few questions, and then you get on our schedule and you'll meet with our team. We'll ask you questions like, what's taking up all your time and where's the highest and best value use of your time and where would you like to have all this other stuff get done and how would you like to move that out of your way?
Right. Autonomy, right? What?
AutonomyUnlimited.com. And just recently we finished up with Benny Wills, helping him design his Parvhesia course. It's coming to market right now. We Benny's just finished up with Derek Bros for his holistic self-assessment course that he's putting out. And we got some secret projects we're working with Mark Passio on. But he talked about them in a video the other day, so they're not so secret.
Yeah, Peter's a Passio fan. You know, he was in studio in Phoenix a long time. So, all right, so take your business to new heights. See, time. Man, I'm a street activist. There is no such thing as time. You know, I need resources. You know, I know what I want to do. I don't have the time to do it. I don't need time management to tell me how much more time I got
to
manage.
No, you need to delegate and systematize. So you
exactly.
Do a meeting for 1 hour a week.
I need somebody to delegate to. Give me that person.
You got 10 people working on your account before, you know, between meetings.
Okay.
Like when we did the intake meeting with Passio, the discovery call, there was 20 people from my side on. So we had team captains, we had specialists in all the various areas where he could need help.
So my complimentary call is $1,200, $1,300? That's my complimentary?
That's complimentary because you're taking up the time of a bunch of people who are smart and can make you a lot of money pretty quick if we ask the right questions and you give us answers. So I'll give it to you for free right now. Because, like, we're building a business. But otherwise, that's a valuable resource that we wouldn't necessarily just want to give away for free.
Yeah,
forever.
But don't call it complimentary.
That's complimentary. Yeah, free. Gratis. Pro bono.
It's free for $1,300?
No. It's you get it for free, man. Click in
then
there.
Why does
it
say $1,200?
Because I want you to know it has a value, and it's not just a free
okay.
thing to do because we're desperate.
Right. Complimentary.
We value our time.
Got
that's
it,
what I'm saying.
It. Whatever. All right.
People don't show up to
we
meetings
got time.
For free.
Help me
I
walk
have to
through
pay
this.
My
Let's
people to
Let's
show up to meetings.
I want to do it. Let's do it. Service needed. Discovery call, consulting, website design, social media, email, marketing, newsletters, web hosts. Okay, let's do the email and marketing and newsletters. It'd be kind of subscription
yeah.
thing. I want to build the subscribers because we've been purging.
Yeah, we resurrected Passio's newsletter. He hadn't done one in a couple of years, but once our copywriters and graphics people got done with it, like it's pretty cool. And people I know read it because there was an autonomy ad in one of the newsletters, and we got a ton of leads from his audience from just reading the newsletters that we helped to produce.
Yeah. All right. Well, let me go ahead and pull. And some stuff, copy, link address, bam, 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 autonomy. Promotion of subscriptions.
And I'm pretty sure we have a meeting with Dan Dix this week because I sent him the link last week after we did the Union of the Unwanted. Because I really want to make sure that whatever can be done to help save his content and reproliferate it, that we get it done.
Well, you look on SitePins there and you click on Press for Truth and you'll see we saved everything up to like last summer.
And yeah, and he mentioned that, but he didn't mention SitePins was you. I was like, because I asked, I was like, who did that?
Derek.
That's pretty cool.
You know, we just showed that you could do it. They're going, well, it doesn't have the last couple of months. Oh, fuck you guys.
It doesn't matter, man.
You
Come
know,
on now.
You guys been on
Come
my
on,
ass.
Man.
You give me shit. Now shut up. And they're always on my ass. Anytime we're at, you know, a club or at, you know, a conference or something. Oh, here comes Ernie. Everybody take, get ready to take a shot of whiskey when he says IPFS, you know. And I'm going, you know, you guys are going to be, you know, screaming for my help later. I guarantee that. And, of course, they did, you know, but.
Yeah, man. Well, don't take any. You know that they give you shit out of respect because they haven't walked your journey yet.
Yeah, I know. They're just, you know, especially, you know, Radowski, because he's just. You know,
you tell them how many grandkids you got, Ernie.
12.
Tell them, say, when you got 12 grandkids, then you can talk to me.
Yeah. I don't want to hear your whining crap.
Till then, drink IPFS, IPFS, IPFS.
Well, I did, you know, the reason is because I get what I bitch about. You know, mm-hmm. It's just the way it works. And I call it quantum reality. I go, watch this. I tell the audience this all the time. I go, watch. I'm going to bitch about this one whatever thing to make it happen. Watch it happen. And then it happens. I go, it's because I'm a really good bitcher about it. Bitch. Okay. Phone.
All right. You got to jump with Dr. Frank. I got to jump because I got an 11:30 meeting.
Okay. Wait a minute. I want to push the button. How'd you hear about us? I don't care. Submit. Processing. Okay. Cool. So I want to hear from you guys. Let's do something. I'll whatever, and we'll pimp the shit out of you and make and kind of do it. It's something simple, like promoting the newsletter. That'd be an easy thing to do in subscription.
It's a good start.
All right, man. Talk to you later. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Ernie. Bye. Peace.